For the latest news, reviews, podcast episodes, and videos featuring the Boston Bash Brigade, visit our website at www.b3crew.com.
Like us on Facebook at facebook.com/BostonBash Brigade. Follow us on Twitter under our respective pen names.
And don't forget to check out the rest of the Land of Esh programming, including the Electric Sisterhood, Geek Aggro, and the Issues program.
When the sisters are away, the bastards will play. It's time for the Boston Bastard Brigade.
Episode 174, Snitches Are a Dying Breed.
Bastards and wenches, please rise for the Boston National Anthem.
For Boston, for Boston, we sing our hundred men. For Boston, since when stars are flaming. And ever with a right shirt as big bombs and touch will be no more in the world. It's come for Boston, for Boston, our glory is over.
Bastards and wenches, and they be seated, and welcome to another episode of the Boston Bash Brigade. I am King Baby Duck.
And I'm Blue Onyx.
And before we begin, we need to give a very, very big shout out to Skinny Lister, thanking them for partaking in our episode of One-on-One.
No. I thought it was thanking them for thanking us for thanking them, because that's what would happen.
Yeah.
Because our new little buddies.
Yeah, they were like, they were giving us shout-outs on their site, we were giving them shout-outs on their site. Yeah, and
it went back and forth.
Yes.
It was the tennis match that should happen when you're helping people out. So
exactly.
They're awesome.
They are amazing.
And can't stop listening to their album.
Yeah, me neither.
Really good.
Forge and Flagon. We gave it 5 stars because it was rightfully deserving of 5 stars.
Especially with the opening that they did from Flog and Molly. That was damn good.
Yes.
Damn good.
Great live act. They're going to be over on South by Southwest Festival. I don't know if that's all they're going to be doing in Texas. I don't know if they're going to do another small tour, but we will keep our eyes and ears peeled. And I told Lorna and the rest of the band that when they're in the Boston area, we'll go out for drinks.
Yep. That sounds
delicious.
It does. So we also want to thank our listeners who tune into our very, very last-minute decision of doing a live show last Wednesday.
Yeah, that was out of left field. Let's put it that way.
Very out of left field.
But hey, it worked. It got us, you know, about what we had about 41 viewers from my view when I was able to look at the counter. But yeah, I saw that we had a good amount of people. That's good for me, especially because that broke the amount that we had when we did our radio show.
I think our record on the radio show was 25.
Yeah, 25 to 27, somewhere around there. So
that was when we had the stampede on doing an acoustic set.
Yeah, definitely. So more or less, yeah, that was another good way for us to get out to you guys. So I think what we're going to try to do is we're going to start trying to do that a little bit more. I think we're going to do Wednesday night sometime in the next couple of weeks or something like that. Try Wednesday night, maybe record it live. I don't know. We'll figure it out.
We're talking about maybe recording live like we used to do it back in the old day.
Yeah,
and then
but I mean, that was cool that we had like at least one person actually ask us a question while we're doing the show. So that helped me go, yay, somebody asked a question. Somebody's paying attention.
Exactly.
So
that was cool, all of us getting together to watch a very, 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 very long-ass announcement for the PlayStation 4. I did not think it was going to be over 2 hours long.
I don't think anybody did. I mean, I thought this was originally going to be done. I mean, hell, when did we start watching? Like 5:30, 6, somewhere around that?
We started recording like a couple minutes before 6. It started at 6 o'clock, and then it didn't end until like 10 past 8.
Yeah.
I thought it was going to be just a one-hour event.
No, it was, oh man, it was just so long.
Just people just, it was basically, they could have cut it in half just showing the games.
If I knew that was going to be that long, I would have eaten beforehand, because I had to, as soon as I was done with that, I had to run out to my local sub shop just to grab something to eat really fast, because, that was just bad.
Well, not to mention there was some hiccups on their side of things too, with the audio and video kept going confuckled.
Yeah, confuckled indeed. Because it was just I think because of the fact that there were so many people that tuned into their servers, you know, and the servers couldn't handle it and whatnot because they're going, oh yeah, it's just another announcement, nobody's going to pay attention. And then that many people go in and go, oh, there's going to be a PS4. Yay, PS4! PS4!
They should have been prepared for that. You would think that with them being a powerhouse in the gaming industry, people are, they're going to go, oh, there are going to be a lot of people that are going to tune into this. No. Let's make sure we have super servers ready so our video and audio doesn't crash.
No. They wouldn't do that. They're, no.
Yeah.
They wouldn't do that. No.
Yeah, we apologize for having the Mystery Science Theater 3000 some of the video game footage, but what can you do?
No, we had to. We had to. It was worth it.
Yeah.
It was definitely worth it because it made it that much funnier.
Yeah.
But, yeah, these guys definitely, they were kind of... There was some parts that I felt were way off on the introduction and so on. But, I mean, being able to watch some of the video games, you know, and see what they had to offer.
Yeah, what I did was I went back and watched just the video game trailers they showed off.
Yeah.
And, you know, it looked pretty interesting what they had there. It was,
the one that the developer there was doing, oh, God.
The puppet show?
No, not the puppet show. Fuck the puppet show. The one that was with the guy, the one that looks like he was made out of, like, Tinker Toys or something.
Oh,
like that.
Knack.
Yeah, Knack.
That looks really cool. It looks like a really cool concept.
Yeah, it does look like a cool concept and everything like that. That one was cool. Killzone, that was pretty cool.
Yeah, Infamous looked really nice.
Infamous did look a little look badass. And then we did get to see Underdog.
Watchdogs.
Oh, no, Watchdogs. Yeah, I'm sorry. Watchdogs, we saw that. I saw that beforehand, and it looked interesting.
Mm-hmm.
So when we watched all the fuck-ups on that aspect, I was like, oh, yep, okay, I know what's going on here.
And then Blizzard comes on stage, oh my god, it's going to be big. Oh, it's just Diablo 3.
Yeah.
The game that
it's
not
something that they've already, like, acknowledged, you know, that it was coming out in the first place. Mm-hmm. But it has, you know, it's just, I don't know.
Yeah, what about this Drive Club game? I know with you being the...
I'm sorry, but it just, it looked sexy. The cars looked real, more realistic now.
Yeah.
But yet, I'd have to, it's just one of those things. Who was that from originally?
From the guys who did the MotorStorm series.
Yes.
Evolution Studios.
I don't think it's going to be good.
No. You think? No. Because it's not the Gran Turismo people?
Well, Gran Turismo, they're good, but I just haven't found anybody really to beat out the my favorite there.
Grid?
Grid. I can't. It's just, it moves the way I, the fluid aspect of it is just, it's mm-hmm. brilliant. Absolutely brilliant.
Yes.
It's not constrained by what they go, oh yeah, this is how gravity would take care of the effect on it. No, it wouldn't. No, it wouldn't.
Now, what do you think of it not being backwards compatible? For us PS3 owners, not being able to play their PS3 games on a PS4, despite the fact that it's the same fucking disc.
Too fucking bad, more or less. That's how Sony works. I mean, they're in it for the money. That's their retrospect is... Hey, why are we going to build a system for somebody that can have all four systems, or at least two systems that would be able to play backwards compatibility, one to do backwards compatibility, I'm sorry, and then the other one to play all the new stuff, all everything new. So I'm not sure if they are going to put a disc in that sucker or not.
No, they've already announced it's going to be disc space.
Oh, okay, there is going to be a disc.
And it's not going to be one of those... anti-used games discs that people have been rumoring about. You will be able to play used games on there.
Okay.
So they've announced 8 gigabytes of memory, which is 4 times more than what...
So the processing rate will be a bit faster, so that should be able to take care of most of the loading issues.
Yep.
At least that's what I think they should be able to do.
The fact that you can start playing a game while it's still downloading... But you were saying that there might be some issue with people who try to do speedruns on it?
Well, I think Phil was talking about that part, that you know, because I'm one of those people that will do, like, a speedrun and just try to go through everything, but I usually like to take my time. But usually me taking my time ends up me finishing the game in 3.5 hours, at least.
Yeah.
So, that's one of those things. So if I was to go and start downloading a game and just go into it and just go, oh, you've reached that point where blah, blah, blah. Well, something's wrong with my friggin' internet if it hasn't downloaded it yet or something like that for me. Because especially, I have Fios. I should be getting Quantum sometime soon. I may be getting Quantum.
Mm. Speaking of Quantic Dream, them showing off the presentation of what their CGI is going to be like in the game with that old man.
Oh, yeah.
That dude looked real.
Yeah, that guy, they did a very, very good job with that. You know, the aspects that they've gotten it down to the skin aspect and everything.
The iris and the eyes.
But that's with me wondering is okay, with the retrospective, that detail, you know, when that goes into the game, when you're playing real, real game, is that going to, you know, mess with the actual system? Will it make it crash? Will it make it do this? Will it make it do that?
Well, that's just why I think this 8 gigs of memory is going to help out with that.
Well, not necessarily. That is one of the key things. You know, the RAM is, you know, here and there, it's basically random access memory. That's basically what it's called. That's what RAM is. Mm-hmm. And that's the short-term aspect of it. I'm looking for the processing. The processing is the main key for me. So if they're going to throw a processing chip in this thing better be high-end. Otherwise, it's going to be fucked.
Yeah.
Because a lot of that stuff that they were showing, as nice as it may be, that might be showing off the computer that's trying to build that PS3.
That's true. It could be the whole unrendered version of the game, because when you have to render it, that's when you're starting to have to scale back on what you created.
Yeah, exactly. So that's the whole thing is you know, that's why I'm wondering, how is this PS4 going to look? I mean, are they going to try to make it smaller, you know, or they're going to make it bigger than the last PS3 when the original one came out? I don't know what they're going to do with it, because it sounds like it might be a glorified PC on fucking roids.
That's what they're saying. They're saying it's going to be more powerful than most PCs out there.
Yeah, but that's easily said than done. The Xbox is easily a PC that's, you know, stronger than most, you know, PCs that are out there in the first place. Hell, you're able to play all these video games on the friggin' thing. I'm able to watch TV now on the fucker.
Me too.
I'm able podcast. To, you know, it's one of those things where you're able to do so much with it.
I can stream my Crunchyroll, you can stream your Netflix.
Yeah, Netflix, you know, Xbox, everything is great on there. It's just, that's the beautiful thing. It does just as much or more than a regular, like, laptop. But the only problem I have is I don't have, unless, I just saw it recently. When we were at GameStop today, they have a little, like, travel unit for the Xbox that you could basically, you know, have a miniature, like, pack, and the pack opens up and it has a monitor on the top of it, and you can play right there and then.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, I just saw it. I don't know what it's called, but I'm going to have to look at that again. But, yeah, for the most part, it's not like the Xbox right now. It has been really easy to drag around, except for those people that have modded it to a laptop-style case, and
which,
you know,
people have done.
It has been done, but I'm not saying that that's probably the best way to go about it.
Yeah, there goes the warranty, that's for sure.
Yeah, definitely. And then the other thing that's driving me nuts with the Windows aspect is the PCs, but I could get into that in
the Windows 8.
Yeah, the Windows 8 kind of aspect. But yeah, for the most part, I feel like with the PS4 and Sony and whatnot,
mm-hmm.
they're... I'm hoping that they're not slipping. I heard a couple years back, they said, no, we're not going to do a PS4. No, it's not going to be a PS4. Nope, not PS4. You know, they, like, legitimately said that they were going to walk away from this whole PS4, you know, the PlayStation in general, because of the fact that...
It was losing money.
They weren't doing a good job. And I still think it's losing money today.
So in America and in Europe... It's the lowest selling console. Xbox 360, it goes Nintendo, Nintendo Wii, and Xbox 360 for this generation were like the top two. Whereas in Japan, Xbox 360, they barely sold a million units there.
Yeah, for its that's the life. Thing. That's Japan. Japan has access to all those really, really good games. And I mean, and I'm just not saying like, you know, the usual Americanized ones that we like playing, like Call of Duty, all that other stuff. You've got all those Japanese-based style games that you, King, would like to play on a daily basis, every time, you know. So more or less, that's one of those things is they have a you know, the demand and they supply it right there and then because that's where they are. With America is such a vast amount, you know, there's so many different people and whatnot, it's hard to gauge what games will do the best. And when they go and put out these games and whatnot, they take a lot of losses because of that fact. I mean, I can't see a lot of people playing a lot of the Japanese style games that, you know, that they have over there coming to here because
we're
American. We don't understand all their logic that's over there, but
you know, it's more for people who are into like Japanese anime, like myself. Yeah. Those are the people that buy the Japanese based video games, like Ni no Kuni. Despite the fact that it's a big anime studio helped out Studio Ghibli with it, it's still not going to do as good as it did over in Japan.
Yeah, so that's why I noticed that a lot of my friends have to buy PlayStations that are Japanese based.
Well, no, that's the thing. Japanese PS3 games can play on American PS3s.
Ah, I thought somebody had to convert one time that I remember. Maybe it was PS2.
It might have been PS2 because it was because of the different styles of discs.
Yeah.
Region 1, Region 2.
Yeah.
Whereas America and Japan shares the same reason for Blu-ray.
Yeah, so more or less, that's the one thing I acknowledge, that a lot of my friends would have to go out and search for a Japanese-style game in order to get a better experience and not have the stupid dub over that sounds like some asshole doing a Mickey Mouse kind of, you know, voice to a character that looks like he's bigger than Godzilla or something like
yeah.
that. So be like, ho ho, Rourke. That's just wrong.
It is.
So,
but I know that they have a lot of those games being sold at like PAX East or Anime Boston.
Yeah, I remember when we were walking by the sections and stuff like that, that they had the actual, you know, video game selections of the world, basically. I bet there was a Russian style game there too. But I'm just saying that, you know, you could basically buy any of the units that were converted from Japanese to American, but you could still play the Japanese games on there, like probably original PlayStation or Xbox or whatever. Or Nintendo even. They have like so many different kind of setups on that.
Yes.
So yeah, it's basically a whatever floats your boat, and a lot of people's boats are floating more with the Xbox, and I feel Wii, too. That's just me. I mean, in America,
yeah, I know
it's Wii, Xbox and Wii.
I know the Wii U has been slow in sales, but that's because they don't have as many games out right now to push it out. But going back to Nintendo, how do you feel about Sony stealing Nintendo's idea and making it so you can play your PlayStation 4 games on the PlayStation Vita?
Yeah, Sony will deny that up and down until they're blue in the face, or Blu-ray in the face. But more or less, their setup that they're trying to do is, hey, we already got a controller here, basically. What we could do is we just make it almost about the same as that. But I don't remember if the PS Vita has a setup where it's the touchscreen on it.
Yes,
it does have the PS Vita, because on the PSP, that doesn't have that, right?
Right, right. But so, the PlayStation Vita, there's a touchscreen aspect to it.
Okay, because I haven't, like, legitimately, like, that's the thing with me. I really stayed away, like, from PlayStation because it feels like it hasn't produced as much as it's supposed to. And, I mean, I see the commercials all the time. Like, I've seen the one that they did for, I think, Call of Duty or Battlefield, where the kids are jumping around
bullshit game, too.
Yeah, that's one of those things that I felt that, why, you know, if you're going to be traveling around, you're playing with all these people on the Wi-Fi and whatnot, I don't think you could probably play it in the subway because
they have the 3G.
Yeah.
But at the same time, think of how bad the lag is on that. But what I was trying to get is, it's amazing that Sony is trying to still push the Vita, despite the fact that it has sold less units all over the world of the PlayStation Vita than the Wii U has all over the world in the last couple of months it's been out.
Yeah.
Well, I think only 4 million PlayStation Vitas have been sold. This is what happens when you try to go up against Nintendo in the handheld world. You can't really compete with them because they have such a vast library as is, and it's just difficult to tackle a monster like that.
Yeah, it's definitely a different different monster by itself. It's totally different because of the fact that It's not stationary. You have to worry about the aspect of it, you know, being jostled around. So you have to make it durable, but not only that, you got to make it, you know, so it's able to play, but all, but because of the how things are now, like the Nintendo DS or whatever it is, it does wireless aspect, right? So you're able to play the Pokemon games or whatever with 50 billion other people that are playing the fucking thing.
Yes.
So it's like with the PS Vita, I don't think they even have that.
No.
They don't even have the, they don't even have like really Pokemon-esque type games on there.
No, they don't. And that's the thing that's killing Sony.
Yeah.
And they don't have an RPG like Pokemon that will, that can grab people in.
But I think this is the other thing is that PlayStation has to do something with the retrospective, not just having all these games personally for the PlayStation. They should have it so that they could give the people that are making games, even though if they're making it for Xbox or something like that, to still get a percentage on the aspect if they bring it over to a PlayStation type game. I mean, look at Infamous. Infamous is one of the games that are strictly for, you know,
PlayStation.
And then you've got, you know,
Ratchet and Clank. You got
yeah, but I'm just saying, like on the Xbox, you got
Xbox.
I'm trying to think.
Really don't have anything on Xbox as...
No, Prototype was like Infamous.
Well, that's also on PS3 as well.
Since they finally just put that on there. But I'm just saying, like, that's one of those things where Infamous is not going to be played on an Xbox 360 anytime soon.
Yeah.
So, I'm just saying that they need to start spreading out their revenue aspect and giving it so that there's options so they can still make some money or something like that, because it's just really bad.
Mm-hmm.
How PlayStation has done this war with, you know, the consoles. But with the PlayStation 4, there's maybe a new hope, but it might be a Star Wars New Hope, and it might just be fucking bad.
So, yeah, especially with the fact that you would have to repurchase all the games you've downloaded on there and everything.
Yeah, that's a pretty shitty deal.
I know, it's a big slap to the face with PlayStation owners. I think, and I hope, that they'll actually listen to us gamers, maybe go back to the drawing board in that aspect and say, okay, how can we make it so we can transfer? I was able to transfer all my Wii stuff onto my Wii U, and I bet you you're going to be able to transfer all this stuff from your Xbox 360 to Xbox 720 when that comes out.
Yeah, that might be.
Because that's the one other system we still have to hear about, the new Xbox, and I reckon that they were taking notes. They are listening to the people.
And they were taking notes, and they were laughing, probably, because of the fact of how ridiculous that they basically took a lot of the stuff from Wii.
Yeah.
It just doesn't seem proper that, you know, I think if they wanted to be Wii, they should just be fucking Wii. They should just take, Sony should either do something where they contribute to the Wii and just slap a PlayStation sticker on the side of it, too, because that's what they're trying to do. It just doesn't seem proper for them to do this, because other thing that really pisses me off about Sony, sorry, I just have to say this, what pisses me off about Sony is that they have so many subcontracts for their electronics, you never get the same amount of the quality when you buy, you know, certain things. You go and buy a Sony camera, you go and buy a Sony TV, you go and buy a... They're all subcontracted through different companies and whatnot. So whatever
different
quality,
subsidiaries with Sony.
So that's the one thing that I dislike about that, because they're going to go and throw all these parts on the PS4 from all different things, and if it comes out and it goes catastrophic, they're fucked. They're pretty fucked. That's one of those things that I'm afraid of with the PS4.
Yeah.
But I mean, I know that they didn't have as many issues when the PS3 came out, from what I remember. But I remember that there is like a yellow light of death or something along
those lines. On the older models.
Yeah.
Whereas I know that Xbox 360 still has issues here and there.
Well, yeah, there's still the red ring of death issues. It's not a perfect system, you know, by any imagination. But yet the games that are on there are fun. Yes. And the maneuverability on the actual front page and stuff like that, it's easy to go by. I'm able to get through things really faster. But when you go to the PlayStation, you know, network system there, I've had to set up a couple PlayStations for my nephews or whatever and everything. And
you're
everything
going
I
to
done.
This menu, you gotta go into that menu.
You gotta go, like, I was just like, where's the fucking system preferences? And I had to go into 50 different menus just to get to that.
Yeah, it's not that easy to get through. Whereas with Xbox and with the Wii U, oh, just go, shoot, okay, there it is.
I mean, I'm... I feel like I'm an intelligent type person, especially with technology, but the retrospect of people that deal with, you know, the everyday consumer person that wouldn't know, you know, a thumbstick from their fucking asshole, they wouldn't know what the hell's going on with the actual game system. That's the one thing that kills me with, you know, the consumers. The consumers just go into a blah, 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 blah. But today, when I was at Best Buy, I started asking questions, and that girl was like, I don't know what you're talking about. Do you want me to go get you a computer guy? No, because you don't know what you're talking about. I want to see you fucking squirm, because this is fun.
You see, that's why I go into the Microsoft stores now. At least they know exactly what you're talking about.
Well, yeah, there is a good chance, but I haven't seen any Microsoft stores.
Oh, Prudential Center.
Oh, yeah. Well, I don't want to go into Boston just to go to a Windows store. I'm sorry, but they have to pop up a couple more around our area so I can actually...
I'm pretty sure they're going to do that sometime around the summer.
Hell, I'll put in my application for one of those jobs, maybe. So I don't have to work under a fucking, you know, fascist regime as Best Buy. But, I mean, that's the other thing with, like, Apple. Apple has their stores that they pop up.
Yep, and they're
always... actually have people that know what the fuck they're talking about.
Exactly.
At least I feel like they do.
They do, and... since I had this, I've had this Mac for 3 years now, and it still works like brand new. What?
Mister, I've had my Mac for 3 years. I've had my fucking PC since 2008. September 2008. I've had my Acer for 2008. And I've resurrected it like 3 or 4 times by myself. Because I'm that fucking good. But that's the problem is I shouldn't have to do that. That's what I get for a $600 computer. Well, that's what I'm saying is that it's quality over quantity, and how they produce a lot of these lower end PCs for people and stuff like that. And they ask them for $400 to $800 for these fucking pieces of shit that will probably die within a two to three year, you know, aspect because of the parts they're using.
Right. So it's like that new Google computer that's coming out. That's only good if you're using it for like business and everything like that. You can't play that. You can't play high-end video games on that thing.
Yet again, that's why I asked that girl, I was saying, with this PC and stuff like that, do you know if it's backwards compatible to Windows 7, and will it still have the touch thing? And she was just like, da, 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 da. No, I don't know what that means. So more or less, that's what I'm saying is that I feel like the Windows 8 aspect, like saying if I go and buy one of the new laptops. I know we're getting off subject here, but I'll be back in 2 seconds. But you go and buy a laptop that has the touchscreen set up on it and everything like that, and when you go and look at the sticker prices and stuff like that, I'm like, okay, good. It has this amount of gigs. Hey, it has this amount of gigs for RAMs. Hey, where's the video fucking card? Where's the video card? And that's what I asked the girl. I said, where's the video card aspects on this? There's nothing here telling me what video card this is. So that's one of those things you got to watch out for. So if I go and buy that thing, and I go and buy Ruse, and I go and throw it on that computer, and I can't go and pull, you know, do the touchscreen and flip it around and do all this other stuff because the graphics won't fucking handle it, I'm going to have a serious fucking problem then.
Exactly.
I'm going to take that computer back and shove it right up their ass. So for them to take the PlayStation and whatnot, I don't know what they're going to do with that aspect, because they're probably like, hey, you know what we could do? We could probably make something to put over this fucking TV, and then what we'll do is we'll do touch things. We'll do it, man. We'll make it so instead of you get the stupid fucking motion controller that we stole from Wii, and you just go and touch it on the screen on your own TV, and you don't leave fingerprints on the actual TV or something like that. They'll do something stupid like that. I feel like they could do something stupid like that.
Yes.
But I don't know what they're going to do. They just... It's almost like, from my retrospect, is how Louis Black explained the years of Reagan, because he, you know, you never knew exactly what Reagan was going to do when he woke up that day. Like, he could have he could have started another war or some shit like that. That's what I'm saying is Sony is a loose cannon. Mm-hmm. I don't like it. I'm scared.
But I'm still unsure whether or not I'm actually going to put down money for the PlayStation 4. They really have to wow me at E3. That's they have to wow me like what how Nintendo wowed me 2 years ago when they first revealed the Wii U. When they showed off what the Wii U could do, I was like, okay, when the first announcement pre-orders comes in, I'm running the GameStop and doing it. And that's what me and this year's guy did.
Yes.
So far, Sony hasn't done that for me. I grant it, it's awesome. You can share online your videos and photos and live stream your games through Ustream, but that doesn't sell me a system unless you got great games and strong hardware within the console.
I think that video that you put up of the live streaming thing, the guy was talking about the PlayStation 4 thing, and there was the cartoon aspect, and it started showing the YouTube video up on the thing, and all of a sudden the kid pulled out a gun and pulled the trigger. That was killing me, because I was just like, I don't know how many people are going to be putting that shit up on like YouTube or whatever and stuff like that, and then posting it to Facebook or doing whatever, and it's gonna drive people fucking nuts. They're gonna be like, why is it every other person I'm seeing PlayStation 4 video things and they suck? Why do they suck so badly?
No, the part that made me laugh was you see these kind of people, it looks like they're running to the Sony store and they go right next door to Samsung.
Yeah. So. Yeah, that's one of those things where, I mean, when I was working at the mall at one point, let's just say security. So when I was working at the mall and they had the Sony store there, mm-hmm. and when I saw, you know, I thought there was a good amount of people in there buying stuff, doing all this other stuff, then the Sony stores closed. That's when I knew Sony was fucking up, because of the fact that they had to close all their stores that were in the area. So, yeah. For the most part, I think the only ones are really in, like, Boston. Like, in the inner part of Boston, there's a couple of Sony stores there.
There's still that one in Copley Plaza,
I think. But that's what I'm saying is that Sony has fucked up that much. And it's scary, and I don't know what they were thinking when they were... Especially, like, when they brought Square Enix on there, we're like, wait, Square Enix is actually going to produce, like, a game or something along those lines?
That's not awesome? Final Fantasy? Oh!
Yeah, and then they showed, like, this... fucking girl running around and doing all this other weird
which
stuff.
Which isn't even a game, it's just a showcase of what their engine can do.
Yeah.
Which is impressive.
Great. Fantastic. Fucking show us a game that you're actually putting it towards. Not.
We're gonna make another Final Fantasy, but we're not gonna show it until E3. Bye-bye!
Yeah, basically. I think more or less what you could have done is take Rob Riggle, put it on like an actual screen, have them run around, blow shit up and stuff like that, and be like, yep, this is our engine. This is how cool our engine is. Because that's what they need to do, is they need to show the realism aspect to the game next to like how Gamer was, where they actually were controlling people to blow shit up and kill each other.
Right, and I think that's what this Quantic Dream is going to be doing with their game, with their realism, going back to them.
I really don't want to suffer that fate again from the aspect of the Rockstar with them putting all this technology towards. God, what's the game? The 1950s game there that was...
L.A. Noire.
Thank you, L.A. Noire. So L.A. Noire did all this technology. I watched all the background stuff. I was like, wow, this is amazing. This is awesome. They're doing the facial... blah, blah, blah. This is not... But then, from my understanding, a lot of the shit went out the window because of the fact that they couldn't go anywhere with the technology that they had to do it.
Yeah, the studio shut down.
Yeah, so that's what I'm saying is for them to go and push that over to PS4 and be like, you got to do this better. We want you to do this better. We want this technology to handle it. Everything that we're putting towards you. I want to be able to record the shit like, you know, like we did for, do the movie for, God damn it. I am so sorry, viewers. I'm just brain farting like a motherfucker.
Which
the movie with blue people in it, and it has.
You mean like Avatar?
Yes, thank you, Avatar. God damn it, my fucking brain is just shit lately. So more or less like Avatar, where they had the actual actors going on a stage, doing all the movements and stuff like that, and have these cameras recording their face and putting it into the actual game system. That's what I'm saying is that they need to go to that point and give us that quality of a game and stuff like that. That doesn't, you know, the game won't, you know, 3 hours. I want 5 hours max on a game, at least. 5 hours max on the game that has a multiplayer aspect to it. So just that's one of those things that I usually have to request on a game. but for them to go that far and to produce the games and stuff like that, it might take them a little bit longer, but it'd be worth it. You know, that's what I'm saying.
Right.
But I don't think PlayStation or any of the companies that are under PlayStation that are trying to build games and stuff like that will put that much effort into the games.
Okay, so now that we got to that, what do you think Microsoft should do now? What kind of what should their cards be? What when they lay it all down at E3 this year? What do you think they need to do in order to say, "Hey, Sony, suck on that"?
Well, first of all, I mean, besides them maybe having a leak of the actual picture of the new Xbox, which didn't look half bad. It almost looked almost about the same as the Xbox 360. But for them to go and actually show the system, maybe show a bit more of the capabilities of it, show if there's going to be kind of like a Kinect aspect to it again, see if there might
Kinect
be that.
Kinect 2.0.
Yeah, do like a Kinect 2.0. Make it so that the Kinect aspect is much better on the body reading, you know, retrospect.
And that you don't need, like, so much space.
Yeah, you don't need, like, you don't need, like, to have, like, 50 feet of space in your room around you so you can actually play the friggin' game. But, yeah, I mean, they're going to have to work on a lot of stuff. But also, right now, like you said, they could sit back, take notes, and watch PlayStation 2 go down the fucking toilet. And just go over, the PlayStation 4 go down the toilet and just go, hey, you know, whatever, we can just go in and see what they did wrong and take bits and little pieces of ideas and make it better. The only problem that I have is if they come out with a motion, like not a motion, but like a touchscreen type controller, that might ruin it for me. That might ruin
it. Not like
me.
How Wii U's done it with the touchscreen.
Yeah, like, I mean, that one... That was the funniest thing because I was cleaning out my room a little bit this past couple days, and I opened up the drawers and there it was, my Sega Game Gear, and I went, this feels just like the Wii controller that I was playing on, except this monitor is smaller. So it was kind of funny when I looked at it, but it's just one of those things with the, you know, what I think they could do is like how they have for Xbox. There's a couple of different little things that you could have, like sketch pad. Like they have a touch kind of pad that you can actually do sketch things on it and stuff like that. That will plop up on the Xbox. Right. That would be cool. That would be something that,
like what you could do in the Miiverse in Nintendo.
Yeah, but what would blow me away is the aspect of giving us wireless keyboard and mouse or something along those lines, so we can actually play like if we want to do a computer, like keyboard and mouse. That's one of those things that I like, because that gives us more interaction. That gives us the capabilities to, I can type a shitload of words. I mean, when I have my controller, you see my controller, it has a keyboard built right on, I put it right onto the fucking thing.
Which
so
is
I can
awesome,
type up a storm.
I love it.
I can type up a storm right there and then while I'm playing a game or something like that really quickly to one of my friends, be like, dude, I'm into this game. Come on, you gotta get in this game. Fucking get in this game now. Fucking fuck, and then send it off and then be back in the game and kill a bunch of people and not have died.
Yes.
So it's just one of those things where... I need that. I need that capabilities of being able to type like a fucking monster, which I can't.
Okay.
But yeah, for PlayStation 4, I think we can stick a fork in them.
All right.
We
can
say, you know, bite me.
Well, I don't want to say bite me. I want to say you say bite me. I say impress me at E3. If not, I'm going to wait a really long time.
That's all I have to say about it.
Okay then. So, on to the demos that we got to play.
You first.
Alright, so I got to try out the new demo for Naruto Shippuden Ultimate Ninja Storm 3. It's the latest in the Ultimate Ninja Storm series.
Say that five times fast.
I know. But I've been impressed with their past games, especially with their animation quality and, you know, CGI and such. Because I love the cel-shaded look. It makes it look like a much better anime series. So in this demo, you don't even get to play as Naruto. You have this whole flashback sequence to when the Nine-Tailed Fox is attacking the village, and you gotta actually defeat it so it can go into the spirit of the little boy who would turn out to be Naruto. If you've never watched the cartoon, I am not going to fucking explain.
No, I need an explanation. I need explanation. You need to hold my hand through the whole thing.
Okay. So in this demo, you play as the third Hokage and the fourth Hokage. As the third Hokage, you're the one that's defeating the Nine-Tailed Fox. So you're jumping from point to point using this like giant, like I want to call it like Dragon Ball style power pole, and just whacking the Nine-Tailed Fox in the face. And then you can even call on people from the village to even do like massive combos and shit.
Okay.
So, and it has like some of the quick time events that were featured in Azura's Wrath, who also were created by the same company.
You would be.
But while that's going on, you're also playing as the fourth Hokage, who's trying to defeat this, like, Master Man. You don't find out who he is in this demo. I don't know if he's ever mentioned in the manga or comics, because I kind of stopped watching Naruto, I think, after, like, the 125th episode, when it just started getting really boring.
Yeah. Yeah.
And see, that's the thing. I don't get how the show goes downhill, but the video games keep going uphill.
Yeah, well, maybe because they actually learn from their mistakes. Unlike Sony! Anyways, go ahead. Yes.
But the demo only lasted, I want to say, like 10, 15 minutes long, because you watch this
That's
video.
That's good for me. Just
kidding. Because at first, it was like a small video of what's happening in the scene, what's going on.
So right there's now. A lot of video, but actual gameplay is at 10, 15 minutes?
I would say that part was 10 minutes long, the actual gameplay.
Oh, okay. All right.
So 5-minute video, 10-minute video game, and then like a 3-minute trailer of the actual game at the end.
Oh, okay. All right. That's gonna suck.
But I gotta say, it's a very beautiful looking game. I think it even beats out the previous installments of Ultimate Ninja Storm 3, because it looks like how a 3D anime cartoon should be. I don't know if you get what I'm trying to say, but I'm not saying it looks like how a CG. I'm not saying.
Okay, I understand because of the aspect of Dragon Ball Z. I've seen those games and how they've done a 3D aspect to the video game, you know, with like the characters.
Yeah.
So when I've seen those, they've done a shitty job. So what you're explaining about it is they're supposed to be a lot better, shading. It's supposed to be like full. They're not. They don't look like they're 2D. They're 3D aspect. They're not. They're not fucking up. They like
yes.
look good. So that's
yeah.
That's
they all they look. It looks beautiful. It's all colorful. It's nice. The explosions look amazing, and it feels like you are watching a bona fide 3D cartoon.
Okay, so but that's one of those things that I'm trying to figure out is when they come out with a game, is it going to be as good? Because now I'm feeling that we're going to be starting to deal with a lot of these Colonial Marines thing where
right.
they show you the game. As a, you know,
as
they develop it in a demo, and then they just go out of nowhere and just pull a rabbit out of their ass, and that's all gooey and shitty, and they just go, there's the actual game! Surprise!
Well, with the game coming out in a couple weeks, I doubt that that's what it's going to be like.
It better not.
Yeah.
Because that pissed me off.
So, graphics are good. The controls are still a lot of button mashing. When I play fighting games like this, I always find myself button mashing. I don't go, okay, I know which combo to put in there. I'm like, I don't try to memorize combos. I tried that as a kid.
Right. You play this motherfucker for the Wii sword game or something like that. Fuck this guy. You just go start swinging.
Yeah.
For the fences, you asshole. Knocked me off that pad so many times, not even funny. I was like, you know I'm right next to you. I can punch you in the face.
Yes.
But with this button and mashing aspect, I get what you're saying is...
Like, when you play Street Fighter.
Mortal Kombat, Street Fighter, you know, all those other side-by-side full of fighting games and stuff like that. Like, you know, I was having a hell of a time with the newer Mortal Kombat of doing just a simple... The Scorpion's,
Come over here.
Get over here, fucking thing. You know, his little... He throws out his spear and hits the person and drags him over and then beats the shit out of him. That was kind of complicated for me. I mean, you might be sitting there going, it's back left, right, back left. You know, kind of stupid like that. Like, but with me, I'm just like, I shouldn't have to take that much fucking time to just do one fucking thing. Because just trying to do that, it screws me over because that guy's already up my ass and killing me. So... For me to, you know, get what you're saying with the retrospect of butt mashing, yeah, I can understand that.
Yes. But altogether, this video game for Naruto Ultimate Ninja Storm 3, I know I forgot to put Shippuden in there, I don't care. It looks like it's going to be a good game. I was very impressed with this demo. I'm hoping that it will live up to the other games, maybe even more so. I can give it a 4.3 out of 5 for the demo.
Okay, that sounds good.
Okay. So the next scene that we got to try out was Super Saiyan Double D Double XL.
Boops.
So this is a spin-off of the first-person series, The Serious Sam, and I could have swore that I played this game before. I could have swore that I tried a demo of this at PAX East, not last year, but the year before. Because it looked very similar to something that they did before.
Or you could be having a serious, serious flashback like I did was with the old Duke Nukem series.
Yeah.
The side-scrolling setup on that.
Like the Manhattan Project one.
Yeah, Manhattan Project definitely hit home with this game. It's the aspect of, you know, definitely flat 2D side-scrolling, jump up and down, and then go all over the place and deal with all the assholes that are trying to kill you. So,
well, first of all, the game looks like crap. Let me just say that. The game looks like crap. But it helps with some of the humor in the game itself for it to look like crap.
Well, because of the fact that when they did the talking scenes, you know, like the actual, like, I want to say portrait, like face, like right close up, and like the guy's talking, it didn't look like he had the puppet mouth where he had like just the lines down his face
yeah.
where he was talking. Like this actually was facial movement, like he could actually talk. So it was funny in that way because it wasn't like the old games, but yet it still looked stupid.
Yes.
So yeah, they designed this one I think on a joke level. I mean this is like along the lines of like Eat Lead.
Yeah. I mean, what else are you gonna expect when you have a game with hover monkeys that are trying to shoot you? With axes.
Alright, now we can explain the hover monkey as it looks like their limbs have been cut off. Well, especially their legs. And they have rockets. And they just go, whoa, 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 whoa. You know, they do their monkey scream and
yeah.
just shoot them in the face and they explode. So, yeah.
And then you had your favorite little suicide bombers there.
The headless, the kamikaze guys.
Uh-huh.
Which, they had a little funny little thing on the side where they were like, okay, you know.
Kamikaze? Okay, where's kamikaze?
Where's the kamikaze? I think he blew himself up again. God damn it, that's the third time today. Fuck. Damn it, he's gotta stop doing that. So, yeah, I mean, for them to kind of do that and make fun of it. Yeah, it was pretty funny, but that's...
Yep, going back to the way it looked, it reminds me of that... In the episode of South Park where they make fun of Family Guy and they have that whole, I know, I understand, I will crap on you.
Yeah. Yeah, that's one of those things where I feel like they did this as a joke, but I think with all the people that, like, that are Serious Sam, like, advocates that they like to go after, that like, they love buying everything that's Serious Sam,
mm-hmm.
this is probably one of those games that they'll buy and they'll enjoy.
Yeah.
Me... Nah, whatever. It's not worth the Xbox Live points, really.
Yeah.
In my point of view, but you know, okay. Just go ahead and download it. Like we said, you don't take our word for it all the time. But I mean, for the most part, try out the games. That's what we're here for—to let you know what games we're trying and to let you know if they're good or bad in our opinion. And you go and play it, and you go and see it, and then tell us we're wrong. I don't give a shit. Contact us on Facebook and say, you guys are wrong. And then explain why we're wrong. And then we'll explain back why we're maybe wrong.
But yeah, he wasn't able to try out the two challenge modes, which was like Narmageddon and Monkey Mayhem, which was like you have to kill at least 100 of those specific characters. The monkey one was funny because the monkeys just fly everywhere. And I'm sorry, it's just so funny just hearing them just hooting all over as they explode.
Yep.
PETA would be pissed. They probably are pissed.
Yeah, they would.
Yeah.
But at least they're not real animals.
Yeah.
So, but yeah, for the most part, I can rate this at like probably a 3.2. At best.
Yeah.
That's at best 3.2.
That's what I was going to say as well.
Because it's a downloadable game. Somebody put their time and effort into this thing. Those poor bastards. They probably lost some sleep somehow, somewhere. But yeah, they did do a fairly good job on the game. It's still not my cup of tea. It's not the way I, you know, because I've gotten away from side-scrollers, and this is just one of those things. A lot of people have gotten away from side-scrollers. There's only like an underground, basically, aspect of it.
So yeah.
A lot of people are still underground. I mean, I know my boss, he's always underground. He's still talking about Silent Hunter 1 from fucking 1995 or some shit like that, and talking about these Ubisoft and how he hates them and all this other thing. So it depends on what underground you're part of, you know, to find out what kind of games you like.
Yeah, it's crazy because I got an email. They had on sale the original Duke Nukem 1 and 2.
Yeah,
for Mac, for like $2 to download. And I'm like, this close to considering buying because because when I was a kid, the original Duke Nukem video game, I would play over and over again. I think it was the only video game I ever played where I would actually go back and play it over and over and over and over and over again. Yeah, I think I beat it like 70 times.
I would go back and play Duke Nukem 3D again if it didn't cause me so much motion sickness. But that's just me.
Yeah. So the final demo that I got to play, Monster Hunter 3 Ultimate. At last, I got another Wii U game to try out. So what's cool about this one is the Wii version and the 3DS versions. You can connect, you can trade off items, you can do, like, co-op modes with, like, the 3DS and Wii U in the same room. And you can switch save modes, so you can, like, transfer saves back and forth.
So, I just a little bit of a sidetrack. So, have you yet to take your, you know, your Wii U controller and go sit on the toilet?
No.
Oh, damn.
I have sat on my bed, though.
Oh, okay.
And it still works pretty well.
All right.
So, in this demo, you're given two levels, one for each difficulty, easy and hard. Each one has a 20-minute time limit because that's the limit they give you to try and kill the monster.
Bastards.
So for the easy mode, you have this Lagombi, who's this, like, giant rabbit-like monster. And then the other one is, in the hard mode, I don't know if I'm saying it right, the Plesioth, which is sort of like a Loch Ness monster on steroids.
Okay.
So, naturally, I would try the easy one first.
Naturally.
It took me almost 15 minutes of hacking and slashing to finally kill the fucker.
That's on easy mode. Did you try hard?
I couldn't kill it on hard. Nah. They kept killing me. And that's the sucky thing, because it gives you a 20-minute time limit. It took me 10 minutes to find the Plesioth. However, if I am saying it wrong, please correct me, listeners.
I feel like you're saying placenta, but that's just me.
But what's cool about the game is you can choose from a variety of weapons. You can choose swords, hammers, lances, axes, bows, bow guns. It's one of those things where you gotta, like, trial and error. See which ones work against the monster the best.
You know, yeah, that sounds like it's a lot of work.
It is a lot of work. Like, I tried the...
So far, in my mind, this game's a 2.
Almost. So, I first tried to go against this Lagombi with the battle axe, and it's this big, massive motherfucking thing, and it looks awesome. But the thing is, the bigger it is, the harder it is to swing it. And the harder it is, the longer it takes for you to get a swing in. It would take me like almost like 5 seconds each time to really lift the thing up and actually hit the monster with.
Oh,
so
great.
So naturally I said, you know what, fuck it, I'm going to quit this, and I'm just going to use a regular sword. And I had a much better time with the sword, but it took me 15 minutes to finally subdue the monster.
Great.
On easy mode. And with my little minions helping me out at the same time too. And then again, trying it on hard, decided, okay, this is going to be like a Loch Ness style monster. I am going to try a bow gun.
Okay.
Aiming is a pain in the fucking ass. Because you're trying to run and shoot at the same time, and it's like you're running up.
So
you're running up, but then you got to aim down.
The running gunning aspect is not really good.
Especially when you're swimming underwater and trying to defeat the monster.
Great.
Like, it's not... Granted, it looks nice, but it's not the best looking Wii U game. What they did was, this was originally just supposed to come out for the 3DS. But they were like, hey, we could actually make it 10 times better and put it onto the Wii U console so we can take advantage of that second screen as well. So, it looks good, but doesn't look standout as like any of the past Wii U games I've played.
Okay, so it's not up to par.
Yeah, it's not up to par.
Fantastic.
But I will say that using the touchscreen to grab items and use them was very easy because I was trying to do the whole item thing on the regular gamepad and shit, and that's also a major pain to try to switch back and forth between, you know, health items and ammo items and reloading too. Reloading is a bitch because if you run out of one set of arrows, you gotta switch it off automatically with another set of arrows, and there's a lot of work that goes into playing this video game.
Jesus. Yeah. I think we could move on.
Okay. It's, I know it has its following, but it's not my cup of tea. If I want to capture monsters, I'll stick with my Pokemon. I'm going to give this a 2.5 out of 5 for the Monster Hunter 3 Ultimate demo.
And from my ear aspect of it, I'll give it a 1. It doesn't sound too sexy.
Yeah, it really isn't.
All right, next!
So, let's talk about the movie we got to saw.
Get to saw?
Get to see.
Get to see?
The movie that we saw.
We seen and saw.
We saw, well...
Seesaw! Yay!
Snitch. Starring Dwayne The Rock Johnson.
No, it's just Dwayne Johnson.
It's not just Dwayne Johnson. Even though he is back in WWE.
Formerly The Rock.
No, he is.
I know. I'm just busting balls. I was kind of doing like that whole formerly Prince thing bullshit, because that was kind of stupid. But yeah, this movie was definitely interesting.
It's not your usual Dwayne Johnson fare. Well, let's put it that way.
Let's just say I could feel that was a lot better than Die Hard. Okay, not on the action, you know, aspect, but it had more of a plot to it. You know.
Yes.
A lot of heavy hitters for the movie.
Yeah, it's Susan Sarandon.
Yeah, she was out of left field. I didn't even know she was in this movie.
Me neither.
Okay, we got Susan Sarandon, Bernthal. That's his name, Bernthal. He's an ugly motherfucker. But I've seen him in Ghost Riders. I didn't see him in Walking Dead. Oh, yeah, he was in Night of the Museum. And then Rampart. That was that movie I was talking about with Woody Harrelson as the bad cop.
You mean Rampart?
Yeah, Rampart. I just said Rampart. Yeah. Anyways, they had Michael Kenneth Williams. He's been in a bunch of things, and he played a good drug dealer. Mm-hmm. I didn't care too much for the mother. But Benjamin Bratt, that was
another one.
That was another one that came out of left field. I thought he was going to be staying away from these kind of things. I mean, I know that he's recovering, you know, from whatever he dealt with. But yeah, for him to play as a drug dealer, like the guy, you know, that causes the most damage and stuff like that. Yeah, that was kind of crazy.
Mm-hmm.
And then, Harold can't even say his fucking last name. He was like the lawyer's bitch there, and like the guy that was running around. He was in I think one of the Matrix movies or something like that, and he wasn't even that big of a role. I don't even know why he took the job. Yeah, okay. The easy explanation of it all for you out there: a father goes undercover for DEA owner ordered to free his son who was imprisoned after being set up in a drug deal. Drug deal bad. The kid was fucking stupid in the first place.
Yes.
So
he should have been like, "No, I don't want to do this."
His friend Craig or whatever on Skype says, "Hey, you know, I'm gonna go and get these drugs sent to you and blah 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 this and that." And the guy is like, "No, maybe, yeah, sure, why not?" You know, get them sent to him. And of course, I would never get a package from somebody that said quick something, quick send or something like that. That was what it was. And when he went to cut it open, like the number and the coding on that thing, that the sticker came right off altogether, I would have been suspicious right off the bat. I would have been like, oh shit. But seeing that he opened the package right away, and like as soon as he opened it, that sent off the sensor, and it said DEA on the business card that was left in there. He got a good run on.
Yep. I would have done the same thing too.
Oh god, where's the DEA agent?
The DEA agent?
Yeah, the one with the beard. God.
The one that was the Saving Private Ryan?
Yeah. Why can't I find him? This is bad. Anyways. But, yeah, with him in on the actual, you know, movie, I thought he could have been in more of a key role, but he seemed to be, even though he was the one helping Dwayne Johnson, like, with the whole aspect of getting everything recorded, so they could put, you know, take the evidence and pin it up against these guys and whatnot. It felt like the role was kind of short lived. I don't know.
Was it Barry? Yeah, Barry Pepper.
Yeah, Barry Pepper.
He's the actor who played the DEA agent. But I feel like they look at this movie poster. I don't know if I can bring it. No, well, I'll show it to Belonic. This movie poster, they would assume, okay, there's going to be some action-packed stuff in there. And there really is not anything really
action-packed. I want to say that there was about four to five scenes that were either suspenseful or dealt with a minor amount of action. This movie is more or less along the lines of a drama, in my point of view.
More of a drama.
I mean, this is the retrospective. I think somebody who wrote this was trying to put out there to the fact that, you know, the federal government is maybe doing a little bit too much on the aspect of the war on drugs,
which has been a failure for many years.
Oh yeah, a wicked failure. But the aspect of what they were trying to point out here was, this kid was a good kid. Small time. This was the smallest of the smallest things he could have done was accept the drugs, even though it was a vast amount. He said all he wanted to do was try a little bit of it, and then he was just going to give it to his friend. Back to Craig. But that's not how it turned out. He got set up, and this is where he landed in jail. And
they said 10-year minimum.
10-year minimum just for that. But that's the thing. If he doesn't play ball, they could have tacked on to 30 years. So he could have been getting out of jail when he was like 50. Yep. So that was a shitty kind of thing. But not only that, he also saw what it was to be in prison. Like that was the biggest wake up call of it all. Like
him getting beat up,
get the shit kicked out of him, and you know
he got Oz'd.
Yeah, more or less. But God damn it, you had to bring it up like that.
Yeah. How was
he going to bring it up? Other, like rape type things. I don't think the boy got raped. At least I hope he didn't get raped, but he did get attacked and he ended up in the infirmary.
Well, it didn't look like he had many stitches on his face. Where else do you think
the stitches... Dude, he had a shitload of stitches on his face. That's where they were. I'm just hoping that kid didn't get friggin' like Edward Norton in American History X. That kind of style.
Oh, that, yeah.
Yeah, that's what I'm more or less talking about. So, but yeah, the whole aspect of it, like, was, you know, Rock is a construction worker, but also he is the concerned parent that he found out that his kid got arrested. Especially what's effed up is on his daughter's birthday, even though he's separated from the kid that the son,
yes,
son's mother. He's separated from divorce and whatnot.
Right, they didn't go really into
what... That's kind of what they're saying is that led up to the kid to do that kind of a stupid thing, but, you know, I'm hoping that because of my nephews, they had to deal with the certain kind of thing, that they're not going to go and do something as stupid as that, because I will whip their ass.
Yeah.
I don't think I would go as far as Rock did, but I'd whip the shit out of them and be like, yep, you should just stay in there. Might do us more good. But, but yeah, I mean, this whole setup is just, it was so crazy and asinine to see that this guy, I think they actually jumped a couple things in this, because it's inspired or based or something along the lines, as I said, in the starting of this movie, on a true story.
Inspired by true events, which couldn't mean that they could have taken seven different stories, put them all together, and then...
They could have done what they did to The Patriot, basically.
Yeah, seven different characters are now one.
Multiple different characters, all one thing. Or otherwise, the person who did this had to go through the aspect of trying to find the guy who, you know, who was on his work site that had connections or ties to a drug cartel, you know, a drug-type group. Which that group has a tie to a higher drug group and whatnot, because I can't see it going that fast. I mean, although the movie was slow,
yes.
I can't see the movie jumping that fast.
Right, otherwise we would have been there for 3 hours.
Yeah, exactly. So we would have been sitting there in that small theater that we got stuck into. I have to tell you, the listeners, we got stuck in the small theater. And I mean, if you're thinking, oh yeah, small theater is like, what, probably about 10 rows or something like that? No. This is like 5 rows.
5 rows.
We got stuck in the 5-row one at an AMC.
And this is the opening weekend of this movie. This is the
opening weekend of this movie. I don't know if this is because they were like, oh, it's matinee, we're only going to get $6 for a couple people if we fill that place. Even though I had grandma sit next to me that it was in the wrong fucking movie theater. She's like, what movie is this called? Snitch. Shit, I'm in the wrong movie!
Ew, I want to go see...
She goes and taps the woman in front of her. I don't even know if she was her friend or not. And she goes, this is Snitch, this is a different movie! And she walks in and goes out. I was like, fucking A, lady. I think she would have figured that out by now.
Uh-huh.
But, you know, you never know.
Yeah.
But Yeah, for the most part, we got stuck in a small theater, and I thought instantly this movie's going to suck dick. And
me
just,
too.
I was just like, oh no, this is going to be bad.
I came into this movie with very, very low expectations.
I mean, this is one of those things when you get stuck in that movie theater, you're like, oh no, oh no, no, they only put that movie in here because it's going to die.
Yeah.
So yeah, I was worried about it, but in some sense, I feel like it was okay, although I did feel it was a bit crowded. I wanted to beat the crap out of the girl in front of me because she kept pushing her chair back into my knee. But
was that the one who was, like, rustling with her candy, too?
Yeah, that was her. Yeah, that was her. I wanted to boot her out of the friggin', you know, downstairs.
So it was like every 5 minutes, you hear, crinkle, 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 crinkle,
yeah.
crinkle.
Crinkle, crinkle, and then she was pushing back on my knee. And I'm like, I can't move my knee. I am a big guy. It doesn't work this way, you know. So, but yeah, for some random old lady to sit next to me, I almost hopped in the seat next to you because I was like, oh, old lady.
It's good thing I had my beans.
Yeah, exactly. That's, actually, I think the grandmother that sat down in front of me, she smelled more like, Depends. Saturday Night Live universe. Oop, I crap my pants.
Oops, I crap my panties.
Yeah, that's bad. But yeah, for the most part, for getting back to the actual movie, it's kind of wholly unbelievable, but also kind of believable at the same time because mm-hmm. I bet it would happen to somebody that was just like, I want to do whatever I can to get my son out of, you know, jail. Even though he did do a stupid mistake, it would be one of those things that I wouldn't.
It's not worth 10 years for that mistake.
Basically. Yeah, it's not worth 10 years. So more or less, for him to be able to actually talk with the DEA agent and also the attorney general and stuff like that, because that's pretty hard to do. Like for him to even get into the attorney general's office would just be a feat all its own.
Uh-huh.
So for him to do that, and you know. Because I know that the guy, because he was a construction worker and he had all these friends and he called some friends and called other people yes. and got four people to call the attorney in four people in 1 hour. That's pretty impressive.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, the retrospect of this movie for him to try, when he first tried to get into like a drug deal and stuff like that, where he, you know, he was recording, he pulled up to these kids and he said, oh yeah, blah, 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 where can I get my drugs and blah, blah, blah. And they instantly turned on him and started kicking his ass. And this is just like one of those things where like, wait, these punk ass gangsters can beat the shit out of the Rock, but, and Rock is all this big muscular guy. It's like, how do you not know how to work anything? You know how to swing a hammer. You should be able to swing a fist. So yeah, it was
one of the more accidentally comical moments.
Yeah,
it's
kind of like, what the hell is he getting his ass handed to him for? I thought he would have just like put these kids up against a wall and just, you know, whipped them all together. But no, Rock seemed more like a kind of like a bitch in this movie. But he was able to do it. I could definitely say this isn't one of the most intense action packed movie of the summer or something like that. But
it certainly isn't the most action packed movie of the winter.
Yeah, but it also in my retrospect right now, seeing that Die Hard sucked so badly, I would have rather just sat through what we watched with Snitch more than the last Die Hard.
Okay.
Even though I will probably buy that movie just to keep my collection complete, as bad as that sounds. But
yeah.
I will probably break it out of the package and never pop it into a DVD player. Unless it has, like, unrated, like, full whatever to see if they had...
They're probably going to do something like that. It'll be an unrated version.
But yeah, for the most part, I feel like this is one of those things that this is not going to be for everybody. But I mean, I was actually surprised with the amount of people that were in the movie theater
yeah.
that definitely had were above the age of 60. I want to say that there was a good amount of the people that were above. I mean, not unless they were fucking like, wait a second, didn't I come in here to watch Billy Connolly? No. No, Rock. No, I was sitting here for Rock. No, fuck. I don't know where I was. Shit, I'll just sit here and watch it. Whatever. I paid $6 for it. Whatever. Fuck it. Let's watch this. So, yeah, for the most part, it definitely was kind of weird for the age range that I saw. We had, like, that girl with her mom.
Uh-huh.
And then we had grandma. We had, like, grandma, grandma, grandpa, grandpa. You know, like...
Why are there so many old people here?
Yeah. I mean, I know it's supposed to be, like, because of the weather... I don't know. It's probably not going to be as bad. They say it's going to be more rain than snow this time around because we've been having such a weird weather kind of thing around here. But maybe they wanted to get out before it might be storming outside. So
yes.
But yeah, I don't know. It was just kind of weird for that. But all in all, I think it was a pretty fair movie. I could give this one 3.8 out of 5.
I'll just give it a 3.5 out of 5. Yeah. I feel like it's nice to see The Rock do something that isn't like The Rock.
But also isn't Tooth Fairy.
That, yeah.
But this felt like that movie, oh god, with what's that other wrestler there, the white guy there?
John Cena?
Yeah, John Cena. Remember how he did that wrestling movie where he didn't do a fucking thing in it?
Yep.
This felt like that, but except Dwayne Johnson actually did something.
Yeah.
But there was the other John Cena movie where he was kind of like coaching this kid in an actual, not like like WWE wrestling. No, this is like high school wrestling, you know, like on the floor, rolling around.
It was like an independent movie.
Sorry, I was trying to not puke. But yeah, I mean, for him, you know, to do that kind of role, it kind of sucked because we were just sitting there like, when's he going to do something? Is he going to do something now? How about now? No. But with this movie, it was like, it did build up to the end where, you know, that's when a lot of the big action part happens. Right. So
everything you see at the trailer is in the last couple minutes of the movie.
Sitting in this movie, if you were to fall asleep for the first hour of this movie, you wouldn't miss anything. Too important, like, oh shit, you know, his son is in there, blah, blah, blah. And then, hey, he's in a big truck and those guys are coming after him now because they figured out something. Let's go and, you know, they're going to try and kill him. In a Big Mac truck with shitty little fucking Chevy Cavaliers and pieces of shit Ford Tauruses.
Yeah.
How stupid are they? Oh, right, they're part of the cartel.
Yeah. And it's funny because then before we saw this movie start, there were two movies with The Rock in the previews. We saw Fast 6 and we saw G.I. Joe again.
Now the question I have is because we saw that Michelle Rodriguez is coming back, but the other one, my favorite fighter there, oh, God.
No! My head! Fucking brain fart!
God, I just don't get it anymore. My brain doesn't work. It's because I left college and stimulation anymore in my brain, and it feels like it's going to fall out at some point.
All of the protagonists that were in Fast 5 will be in Fast 6. If you're wondering if there was a character that you liked in Fast 5, they'll probably be in Fast 6.
Yeah, but God damn it. I have to go to American Gladiators. That's how much of a brain fart that I'm having. Because that's what she was in, you know. That's what she was in last. And I just want to kick myself. Wait a second. That's the old American Gladiators. You fucking motherfucker. Oh, I hate you so much. Oh. Ah, there we go. That's the one with Hulk Hogan. That's the bad one. Okay, so, let's see. Gina fucking Carano! Oh my god!
How can you fucking forget Gina Carano?
Because my brain is falling out of my fucking skull, and plus, I got a girlfriend that keeps my mind off of shit like that. God!
So you... All you had to have said was Haywire. And that would have went
to... I couldn't even think of Haywire! That's how bad it was!
Yes, she'll be in Fast and Furious 6.
Oh, great. She's a DSS agent. That's what she is. Because I haven't seen her in the preview. Did you see her in the preview? Because
I didn't see her in the preview. Here, Gina Carano. Here, in the bra. Remember this picture. Remember the picture. Remember the name.
That's not a good one. No, that's not a good one.
What? She's got a cute belly in that one. You just want to go right on there.
Yeah, and then she'll go and give you a friggin' knee to the face and kill you. So,
but it'll be the greatest death ever, admit it.
Yeah, that one. Anyway, so I think we're done here, next to me having an actual aneurysm. Oh, God, okay. My head is going to explode.
Oh, remember.
I need to go to a neurologist.
For the latest news, reviews, podcast episodes, and videos featuring members of the Boston Bastards, you can find us at www.b3career.com. For questions, comments, anything you want us to talk about, you can reach us at thebastards@bostonbashmgay.com. I'm on Twitter, king_baby_duck. Blonic is under Blonic. We are on Tumblr at b3crew.tumblr.com. And I think that's about it from my end.
Yeah, we're on Facebook.com. Yeah, I fucking remembered. Boston Bass Brigade. So if you go, you know, Facebook.com/Boston Bass Brigade, you should be able to find us that way. Otherwise, just type in Boston Bastard. By the time you get to that point, it should pop up our logo where it should be the nice, you know, Bostonian B with a 3 and the Boston Bastard Brigade on that aspect. So if you can just find us that way, you can go and type us. Dude, we want to hear from you. Along with that, we're going to be trying to do a lot more with, you know, trying to do visual stuff and trying to be more interactive with you guys. Along with working on maybe some other stuff. Show type things. Mwah.
Yeah, exactly. And we are gearing up for PAX East. I'm already starting to make appointments with some companies chat with.
Yeah, I got to make some appointments actually with some companies. I got called recently for another game. They just randomly call me. I don't know why they don't call you. They call me.
I think it might be because you talk the most on the podcast show. Because you're the better speaker than me. I will admit that. When it comes to
you fucking
speaking,
write better than I do. That's the problem.
I write better. You speak better. It's a good mix, dude. Don't worry.
Yeah, I have to use people as a body shield and then be like, yes, this is what we want to do. Bang, 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 bang. Okay, that's not what you want to do. Okay, fuck this guy.
So we are going to end this show with a song by one of our good friends from Japan, Salvage Fool. They are currently working on a new album, and this is a song that you can download for free as part of this whole Hard Rock Cafe Tokyo promotion. And if you download, and they get the most downloads of their song, they get to do a show at the Hard Rock Cafe in Tokyo. This is my good friend Sawa Kato with her band Sawa's Fool with the song Karma Wave.
Enjoy!
So until next time, this is King Noobie Duck.
Oh, right, who are you? Oh, fuck, my brain.
Randy, you don't have to be from Boston to be a bastard.
But it helps! I remember that part! Yay! Teach me art, teach me art.